Jason in Chicago, and again, the question we're asking and what we're debating, who's the most important 49er now? And what I'm waiting for also from Dibs, I haven't gotten it yet.
Okay.
Is a big old heaping serving of I was wrong.
In terms of?
Well, last year, Brock Purdy was the seventh most important 49er.
Yeah.
That's what you told me.
Early on.
Okay.
And he moved up the list.
Oh, I see.
He moved up.
I didn't know you were going to move the goalpost like that.
Why, everything changes with new information. And right now, he's more than the seventh most important player.
What is he now?
He's probably right now the second most important player.
Okay.
Third, if you want me to go Dominic Pooney on you, I won't do it. But he's only behind Trent Williams. And if you want to look at Trent Williams and his... the record when they don't have him and they're 3-6 without him over the course of four plus seasons,
which is political math. It must be an election
year.
It's
just math.
No, but
these are just facts.
Right, but
when he doesn't play, they lose 2/3 of the time.
Yeah, that was.
And I'm sorry if that bothers you.
You want to let me finish the sentence that's going to blow your record up?
Go ahead.
You ready for it?
Go ahead.
Tell everybody that three of those losses were before Brock Purdy was on the team. Tell everybody that, because that's significant for the conversation that we're having.
They had a quarterback on the team at the time who has been to a Super Bowl.
Uh-huh. But that's not what we're talking about right now. So what's Brock Purdy's record without Trent Williams?
Brock Purdy?
Uh-huh.
0-2. 0-2.
Is that accurate?
You can ask me a question. No. I'm going to give you an answer, and you're going to question me?
I think there were more games than that Trent missed.
Trent missed two games last year.
What about the year before
they
that?
They lost them both.
What about the year before that?
The three games that he missed, I believe, were pre-Brock. He missed the Rams.
All of them?
Carolina and Atlanta. Trent came back for Kansas City, which is when beloved Brocky Poo
stepped
on the field.
No, he did not against Kansas City. He came on the field against Miami.
Oh, so, yeah.
Christian started that game against Kansas City, but was limited. He was like a half participant.
Right. Trent missed three games. Rams, Carolina, Atlanta, weeks 4, 5, and 6. That's it. That's it. So when Brock came on the field from on high, Trent was already back and healthy.
So 0-2.
And helping him out.
Okay.
0-2.
Small sample size, Steve.
3-6.
0-2.
All time.
Got it. Okay. Just want to make sure we're all squared away with the numbers.
Yeah.
We got plenty of people in media lying right now.
Brock has never won a football game without Trent on the field.
Hmm. Has Trent ever won one without Brock on the field?
A bunch.
How?
I mean, he's...
Since Brock became the starter?
Oh, since Brock became the starter.
I mean...
No.
Okay.
Like, I mean, Trent's won a whole lot more games than Brock has.
Trent, how about when Trent, was Trent on the field in Chicago? Was he on the field with Trey Lance?
Yeah, I'm looking and yes, he was.
How'd that go when the Niners had when they had Trent Williams, but they didn't have a good quarterback? How'd it look?
It didn't look great.
How'd it look?
You were there for that game.
I was there.
Yeah, you were.
It was awful.
And Trent, actually, if we're going to be totally fair, Trent only played 38 snaps in the Jimmy G debacle at Denver.
Denver, yeah.
That's when Trent got hurt
that night. Yeah. Yeah, and Jimmy ran out the
back of the end zone. And the team barely recovered after that, but go ahead.
Jason in Chicago. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Mark, what's up?
What's up, buddy?
All right, so there is no way it's not Brock Purdy. We would all, as fans, be sick to our stomachs if we're rolling out Dobbsy or Brandon Allen. We can handle no Trent Williams, and it'd be okay. But the more pressing issue, chocolate tracks or fudge tracks is not a real ice cream flavor.
Thank you.
Please stop.
Thank you, Jason.
I didn't write the words fudge tracks on the front of the ice cream container. That's what it says. Does it not say that? Confirm or deny the driver's ice cream.
I didn't look at it.
Next break, I'll go look because there's an ice cream social before the show. I wasn't here for it. So I came in and I ate ice cream during the crossover.
You sure did.
And the YouTube audience asked, what did I eat? And I said, fudge tracks ice cream with like Oreo crumbles and chocolate chips drizzled over the top.
Jason, you know what fudge tracks is, right?
Yes. It is a knockoff of Moose Tracks.
Oh, right. I was going to go a different direction, but I like that.
Not really.
Well, that is not radio appropriate, Dibs.
I appreciate it. You know me.
Moose Tracks.
I like it, Edgy.
What are you trying to do? You're trying to get...
I was trying to advocate for a change of underwear.
You're trying to get Jason dumped. Jason, thank you.
Well, fudge tracks would lead to somebody getting dumped.
I'm going to go. Stop it.
Thank you,
Jason.
Whatever, Grandy. Stop being such an adult.
I ate it.
Laughing every now and again.
I'm going to eat it. I ate it.
Yeah, you did.
And you can call it whatever
I'm
you
eat
want.
It.
It was delicious. It was delicious. It was not nutritious, but it was delicious.
Don't talk about that.
All right. So
I just encourage everyone to go back and do the film study as Greg Cosell and I do. And I watched the game against Minnesota back, and what you see is an offensive line that was maybe not porous, but they struggled without Trent Williams.
You know,
Brock Purdy actually made some great throws in that game.
He did.
And then he had the absolute, not the worst pick of his season.
No.
But it was up there. It was just an awful pick.
I disagree with you completely.
Awful
and I know,
pick.
No, it wasn't, because circumstantially.
It was the fudge tracks of picks.
Yeah, but how far down were the Niners?
They what were down the by a score.
Are you sure?
Yeah, 22-17.
Okay.
Facts.
Fine. True or false, when a team is losing and you're given the ball with said, like, what, a minute to go, minute plus, what was on the clock?
I'm looking at it, I think it was buck 11.
Okay. Fact or fiction, the turnover rate in a situation like that goes through the roof. And the reason for that, just like Jordan Love in the playoffs last year when the Niners took the lead and Dre Greenlaw picked off a ball and then decided to run around and...
I loved it.
Like, remember that play? The reason the turnover rate goes through the roof is obvious, because a quarterback needs to start taking more chances than they normally would, because you are up against it. You are in a desperate situation. It's not to excuse it. You want to call it a bad throw? Sure, fine, bad throw. It was a pick. But that game for him is still fascinating to me. Not that it was a great game for Brock, because it wasn't, but if you look at what was happening against Cincinnati and Minnesota last year, to me it was obvious. The defense was brutal. They could not force an incompletion. And that puts the Niners in a situation where they can't use Brock or Trent. They can't run the ball anymore.
Fair.
You got to come from behind. And the whole thing is just off track.
I do need to offer a clarification.
Please.
Sensation.
Thank you.
Because he threw two picks in that game.
I remember them.
And the one that I was referring to happened with 5.5 minutes to go.
I remember both.
First and 10 at Minnesota's 49. That's the one that was really the most crippling. The second pick happened with a minute left.
Desperate.
And I'll give you that one. That was desperation.
Yeah.
The other one was just a bad throw, and maybe it's because there was no Debo, and he thought Juwan would continue on his route, and he didn't, but that was the pass where he threw it right to the Minnesota Vikings, and that was crushing.
Ready for me to upset you?
You're going to blame the receiver, of course.
No, I'm not going to blame the receiver at all. I
blame
would never
some
do that.
Poor wide receiver three.
No, he was concussed.
Ah, there you go. And we had this actually discussion.
That?
I do remember that.
That? Yeah. Remember that. Yeah, Brock was fine until he got concussed.
Right.
And then he started throwing picks. And then he came out the next week. And remember, he wasn't going to play. The doctor was all, he shouldn't play. And then he played. And he threw more picks.
Yes.
Still concussed.
That's what you said.
And then he went on a bye week. And he came back. And everything was hunky and dory.
Yeah. The head was clear. Yep. And, you know, he was far enough away from the concussion that you, Brock Purdy acolytes, could no longer give him a free pass.
Can we just admit something? Everyone's insufferable. Like, you're going to pick a side and you're going to stay there. Like, I actually don't think all that stuff. Those were bad throws. And you, if you're on the field, you're accountable.
You're on the field, yep.
You're accountable for your throws. But the same way, like, sometimes I do that because that's what the opposite to me sounds like. When you go, oh my gosh, Willer's just going to come up with an excuse for Brock no matter what he does that's bad. Well, that's what it sounds like to me in the opposite direction when he goes out there, goes 18-4 as a starter, wins two playoff games per year every single time he goes to the playoffs. Only two losses in the playoffs. One's in overtime to Patrick Mahomes. The other one, he didn't have an arm attached to his body. And so many of you will come out and go, well, Shanahan and Trent, it's actually not that good. Like, that's what it sounds like to me. It sounds bananas for people to say that anything other than the 49ers have found a really high-level player at the quarterback position.
Yeah, and I understand that.
That's all.
And it's the way everybody's going to look at any issue, and you're going to skew it your way. based on how you want to confirm your own bias. And if you don't think that Brock is that good, if you think he's a product of the system, then you're going to look at Monday night as a good example. Brock was fine, but they won the game because of Jordan Mason, a great defense, Kyle Shanahan, and a kicker who was near record setting. So if you believe that Brock Purdy's just aight, you look at all those other things to confirm your own bias. And sure, if you're in your camp and you think that Brock is amazeballs, then you look at all the great things that he did and you give him more credit than you give other people.
I appreciate your use of amazeballs.
Yeah, no problem.
I do not appreciate your use of the word fine. I just don't.
I get that.
Okay.
And I probably gave him a B+ as well.
Dude, the word
fine. I hate the gravy train on Grandy.
At the risk of sounding like a child of the 80s and a teenager of the 90s, the word fine is for when you see someone walking down the street that you think is super hot. That's what the word fine is for. It's not meaning like, oh yeah, everything's great. No, that's not what fine means. How are you? I'm fine. Let's go to the couch. Sit down. What's wrong? Tell me. I can handle it. Let's talk it out. That's what the word fine means. So if you tell me that Brock was fine on Monday night, you're being offensive.
He was fine.
Unless you're attracted to him.
Right. I mean, yeah.
That's just the way I look at it.
Looked at the way he played, and yeah, he was good. He's fine.
See, I got you to stop.
You know, I don't want to dwell on the lexicon or the particulars of the assessment. He was good enough to win the game, as he has been in 18 of his 22 starts as a pro.
He was more than good enough. I mean,
so
they
whatever
won it going
word you
away.
Want to use, he's 18-4 as a starter in the regular year. So whatever four-letter word you want to put on that, the dude has played 22 regular season games, and he's 18-4.
10 letters. Right. Amaze balls.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Aaron in Iowa. There's your four-letter word. It's Iowa. Hi, Aaron. What are you doing?
Oh, just listening to you guys right now.
Yeah, so that works out well for everybody.
Yeah, but I wanted to talk about, like, when you guys were asking earlier who, like, the most important players are on the team right now. I would honestly say Brock Purdy is number two, and Trent Williams is number one. And strictly speaking, last year I still would have had it actually ranked that way, because here's the thing. If Trent Williams goes down for that year, last year, what do the 49ers have for an offensive line? Probably one of the three worst offensive lines in the league last year, because they were already bottom 10 last year in pass protection. And then you look at this year, if with their emergence of Pooney, if they go from bottom 10 to at least mid-tier, if not at least top 15, I think the 49ers finally get over that hump. And then you're going to see what Purdy can actually do. Because many people would seem to forget that Purdy constantly has had pressure in his face or has had to escape stuff to get the ball out. And now that he'll actually have a little bit of a better protection pocket going on this year, if Pooney does play out the way many Niners fans hope, I think people are going to be actually surprised then and actually be like, you know what? This guy is much better than what we thought he was.
Well, Aaron, I think you make some really solid points, and obviously there's no diminishing Trent Williams' importance. That would be ridiculous. But let me ask you this, Aaron. If Brock Purdy is now 18-4 as a starter, and he's been really, really good, and you just said he did it, Trent even being there with an offensive line that in terms of pass protection ranked in the bottom third of the league, yet this player still continues to succeed and has the highest passer rating in the NFL. What does that tell you?
To me, that tells me that Purdy's doing extremely well despite being handicapped a little bit. I was just saying that the only reason why I put Trent above there is just because of the fact that it literally takes that offensive line from being probably like the bottom three to considerably the worst offensive line for pass protection to a decent, somewhat workable offensive line that Purdy can work with. That's all I was getting at. I'm not saying that Trent, well, I'm not diminishing Trent. I'm not diminishing Purdy. I'm just saying that if you had a different quarterback other than Purdy, despite what many people want to say behind that offensive line, I don't think they'd play as well. The only one I think that plays as well behind that offensive line would be Patrick Mahomes. I don't think anybody else would play that well. Not Lamar Jackson, not Josh Allen, just because of the fact that, like, those guys, yes, they can run with their legs, but Kyle Shanahan's system does require you to still be able to try to go down the field. And it's just, I just don't think those guys would be able to work through the system properly. They have a completely different skill set than what Brock Purdy has, but that doesn't mean that, I'm not saying that they would completely fall flat on their faces. I just don't think they would be as successful in this system as people think that they would be. And they just want to keep diminishing Purdy behind this because they're like, oh, well, we've seen what Kyle Shanahan has done with years before. Years before, he had better offensive lines. This, like, since Purdy's taken over, it's been not really considered one of the better offensive lines. Even that,
well,
the year that he...
Yeah, I was just going to say, and Aaron, thank you very much. It depends.
It's a good call, Aaron. I appreciate that.
It depends sort of on what portion of the game, I guess, you're talking about. Because, again, there's the pass protection, there's the run game.
Interesting you say that.
And offensive lines can be very, very different, even as the same group. Like, take Mike McGlinchey might be one of the better examples. Like, Mike McGlinchey was both a good offensive lineman and a bad offensive lineman.
Exactly.
All tucked into one, depending on what the play call was.
I was just looking at PFF from last year, and I know Pro Football Focus is not the end-all, be-all, but it's a metric.
It's a thing, sure.
And last year, the Niners were ranked 22nd in pass blocking. They were number one in run blocking.
There you go.
So, to your point about this offensive line, and yeah, when you get into third and two and third and three, it's easier to pass block because the defense doesn't exactly know what's going on. So everything is contextual. This offense thrives on having the run pass capability on any individual play, as any offense does.
Only other thing I want to add about the Trent Williams thing, and again, I've got to say this up front, there's no way to diminish his importance. I sat here with you for 3 weeks leading up to this going, there's no way he's missing the opener because there's no way the 49ers are that stupid. They know what you know, what I know, which is that, yes, he's that important. So there's no diminishing him. But it my ears perk up when I hear people go, well, if he was out, here's what would happen. My answer to that is kind of like, well, you don't really know that. I don't know what Trent Williams' backup would look like long term. Let's not act like we haven't found players through injury before. Brock Purdy is one of them. When Jimmy was walking off, if everyone had just gotten a phone call right then and there and been like, by the way, that was his last play with the 49ers, what would you have said and what would you have thought? Where was that season going in that moment?
Most likely south.
It was over.
Yeah.
That was it.
I did think at the time, and I remember coming in the next day thinking, you know, they could survive it if this Brock Purdy kid is just decent. They have enough around him to where they could still do some things. And then it turned out he was more than decent.
Well, and remember, at that moment, we had almost next to no data, but the data we did have was, they went out and scored 33 points.
Yeah.
Like, I think the Niners were down 7-3 when he came in, if memory serves. I think they were down to the Dolphins 7-3. And did they not win 33-17?
33-17.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go. So, like,
Your guy Garopp was 2 of 4 for 56 yards, and he'd been sacked.
Yep. You're darn right he had been.
He'd been sacked.
What was Brock's numbers in
25
that game?
Of 37 for 210, two tutties and a pick, and a win.
And a win.